in anybody's life is their blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ continuously. And then there's a cross piece here on the cross. And I think this side is we are to love not only Jesus, we're to love God's people. That's extremely important. And then there's the other side, I believe, is to love a lost world. So we have three parts of this love that the Bible talks about. And the first one's to Jesus, second one to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then the third one to this lost world. And if we remember, I think one of the sad things about the church in the last 50 years has been very simply, we've been pretty good on the vertical, loving Jesus and all of this, but we have not been the best on loving our brothers and sisters in Christ and also loving a lost world. And that's why I really believe God wanted me to mention this today in the message. We talked about it last time. How do you know you love Jesus Christ? I mean, a lot of people pray. A lot of people go to church. A lot of people sing the songs. A lot of people do all these things. But Jesus said, and we talked about this last time, he said very simply this, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, what's the proof that you love Jesus Christ? You obey him. You obey the word of God. And I'm giving you three of those things today. Loving Jesus, loving your brothers and sisters, loving a lost world. That is the obedience of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, also go into all the world and make disciples. That's loving the lost world. And so forth, those that respond. But the evidence of loving Jesus Christ is being obedient to him. And there's always somebody in a conversation, if I talk to them about the Lord, they'll say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Well, I just gave you three things. And on top of that, God many times gives us special things to do. And how do we know what they are? The only way I know is to get in the Word of God and listen to him. That's the only way I know. If there's another way, I would tell you very quickly how to do that. Now, I want to talk, we talked last time about loving Jesus, and now this time I want to talk about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ and also loving this lost world. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, because last time we looked in the New Testament and saw where it talked about Jesus said that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourself. And then we went to the Old Testament, found the same thing. And now we want to see, where does it say love your neighbor in the Old Testament? I'm glad you asked. We're going to look in Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. And it's very interesting that Jesus, most of his preaching was quoting from the Old Testament. And he did the same thing here. And so Leviticus 19 and verse 18 says, Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but ye shall love your neighbors yourself, basically because I am the Lord. And what he said is, if you love me, if you really love me, you will love your neighbors yourself. And in the New Testament, when he mentioned that, somebody asked him, who's our neighbor? And he picked out one of the people groups that the Jews absolutely hated, and it was the Samaritans. And he told the story of the Good Samaritan, because there was a man who had been robbed and waylaid and was wounded, laying in a ditch, and the priest came by and a Levite came by and didn't help this man. But then a Samaritan came by, bound up his wounds, took him, didn't have hospitals in those days, took him to the inn and had him cared for. And Jesus said, that's loving your neighbors yourself. And I think he also mentioned this very simply because he didn't want us to be selfish. He didn't want us just to live within ourselves. He wanted us to reach out, and as he did, and so forth. And you know, I was looking a couple days ago at something, and it said, you know, one of the best ways to not be selfish is to give everything to God. Now, I don't mean physically give everything to God, but what I'm saying, in prayer, just say to God, everything I own is yours. All my money is yours. All my possessions yours. All my clothing's yours. Everything I have is yours. And then allow him to use it in whatever way he wants to, and you won't have to worry about it. You will love your neighbors yourself. And so that's pretty much what he's talking about. Now, what is the proof of our salvation? It's not necessarily loving God, although that's one of them. The real proof of loving that of our salvation and the fact that we're saved is that we love other people. Now, if we don't love other people, that's an indication that either we don't understand what salvation is, or we just very simply are not saved. Because Jesus loved everybody that came to him, regardless of their station in life, regardless if they were terrible sinners or not so bad sinners, so to speak. And Jesus loved them all. Now, one thing that Jesus will not let you, if you love him, he's not going to let you turn your salvation into just Jesus and me and nothing else matters. That is not what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach just me and Jesus and we're going to just dance down the road and then we'll all be in heaven together. That is not what the Bible says at all. He's not going to allow us to do that. Now, the cross is the perfect symbol of the Christian faith. You ought to have a cross somewhere in your house. And you ought to look at that every day. And you ought to be reminded to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbors yourself. That's exactly what the cross is all about. And so, there's some churches that won't even put crosses in there because they don't want to offend anybody. Can you imagine that kind of stuff? But they're big churches. I mean, have thousands of people coming, no cross in there because they don't want to offend anybody. Well, if the cross offends you, get saved. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Come to Christ, get that thing settled in your life, and the cross will be a part of your life. In fact, even if you're standing, and if you get excited about anything, you're a picture of the cross. You see. And I think that's why God gave us two arms. Just to be a picture of the cross to this world. I really do. Now, this dual relationship is taught all the way through Scripture. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. That's what this whole thing's all about. Let's look in the Scriptures. 1 John, not John. 1 John, let's go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We're going to look at several verses here real quick. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But I want you to see this. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Say one with another. One with another. There it is. If we're walking in the light of God, we're really doing what God wants us to do, we're going to have fellowship one with another. Go to 1 John 2 and verse 9. And this says, he that saith he's in the light and hates his brother's in darkness even till now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling with him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes because darkness has blinded his eyes. There is no room in a Christian's life for hate, period. No room there. I didn't say you have to be madly in love with somebody, but I'm saying we're not to hate them. That's a very clear commandment of God. First John chapter 4 and verse 20. If a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. I don't know how much more clear you can get than that right there. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he hasn't seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God loved his brother also. Is it okay if I teach the word of God today? Yes, all right, well, let's get into it. Let's look now in the book of John, chapter 13. John 13, I just want you to see this is throughout the Bible, not just in one place. John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So if you spend half your time talking about bad about somebody, and you hate somebody, and you can't stand them, and you can't be in their presence, and you don't want to be around them, and you don't even want to hear their name mentioned, there's something wrong with your Christian life, if you have one. And that's the issue that I'm talking about. Our salvation is lived out among people, not buried somewhere in a cave reading our Bible. Although that's good, that's not where the Christian life is lived out. It's to be lived out in this dark, lost world. Not in some desert someplace. I've heard people say, I'm just going to get me a place out in the middle of nowhere, nobody will bother me, and I'll just read my Bible and love Jesus. Well, that's okay for temporarily, but we are to live this life around and in midst of the people of this world. That's what Jesus did. We're to be salt and light. You know where that is in the Bible. We're to be salt, we're to stir them up, and then we're to give them the truth. And the truth is in Jesus Christ. So, that's what we are to do. If we're not doing that, we are not doing it. We're not doing the cross. We're not doing what God asks us to do. Now, I don't know. There's just something about our old nature that just wants us to separate the two. We want to separate loving God and separate loving people, and the Bible doesn't do that. And neither did Jesus. The cross was a total. It was together. It wasn't separated in that sense. And so, there's some people just say, well, this Christian faith is a private thing between me and God. I don't like to talk about it. And that kind of thing. I just want the Lord, and I don't want anybody else involved. And you know what those people are? Usually they're not faithful in church because they don't understand that the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And the reason it says that is so it's going to give you an opportunity not to only to love God, but love the believers. That's why we assemble together. You can worship God out by yourself somewhere. There's no question about that. But why God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forget that horizontal part of the cross is what he's talking about. So loving Jesus is an absolute necessity, but you can't leave the other people out of the picture either, you see. So the Christian faith is not a private thing. I asked a guy one time, I said, are you saved? He said, yes, I am, but I don't tell anybody. Were you like that way when you were dating your girlfriend or you were dating your husband-to-be? I mean, you never said a word about him to anybody, I bet. Just kept it all to yourself. You just never mentioned the other person's name, you see. You see, there's something wrong with that. There's no such thing as that in the first place. And so it's not a private thing. We have a great ability to departmentalize everything. We'll put something in this box and something else in this box and something else in this box, and God mixes it all together and said, this is life. You see, you don't put people in boxes, and you don't put things in boxes. And you put one box, your faith in Jesus, and then one box. Now listen to this. You have another box where you treat your employer, your employees, your fellow workers, your family, and your friends, and it has nothing to do with that box over there where you have Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You put Jesus over here in this box, and then you treat everybody else differently. You see? And Jesus said, that is not Christianity. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not it, and it just doesn't work that way. And you know, but that's what we do. Now, some people see Christian faith as loving your neighbor, and we have such a tendency to mess up the things of God. We can do it so easy, it just comes naturally. You know? Some people say, well, you know, it isn't too much about loving God, it's loving everybody. The whole world's just a big world of love, and everybody loving everything, and that's Christianity. I'm sorry, that's not Christianity. You see? That's what some people believe. And then there's a bunch of other churches over here, and they believe, keep to yourself, don't touch anybody, you might get contaminated. You know what I mean? Be careful about, don't be around anybody else, just stay in your own little box. And you know that's what it usually is, a very little box. Are you listening to me? That's what it is. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I'd walk down the street and past this certain church, and on Saturday night, I mean, you could hear the music. They were having a great time in there. But they weren't touching the world with one thing about Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? I think that was wonderful. They were enjoying Jesus and whatever they were doing, but they weren't touching anybody else. And so, you know, so you got the Jesus and me folks, and then you got these folks over here who love everybody and very seldom talk about Jesus. They're both messed up. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the way it is. You know, liberal Christians just say, oh, just loving everybody. I'll tell you, the church I was in, when I grew up, they could love each other. They had a great time together. They had some of the best fellowship I've ever been around ever since. I mean, it was wonderful. They had picnics together, and they had did all these various bazaars and selling things together, and they just had a great time. But you know, I didn't know how to get saved there. Isn't that something? They didn't tell you how to get saved. I never got saved there. It was a great place, great people. I loved the people. They were wonderful. But they never told you how to be saved. Now, when we listen to a message like this one here, or any message we listen to, we ought to say, what does the Bible say about this? Which we have gotten into the Word of God. I'm showing you it's a command of God. And then we ought to say, how can I apply this to my life? Now, we need to apply it to our life. It's not here to fill notebooks up. We're not here to do any of that stuff. How am I going to apply this to my life? You see. Now, some people are easier to love than others. I agree with that 100%. There is no question. There's no question about this. Let's look in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Now, don't go to sleep on me. This is important, you know. If you want, I'll do a couple of somersaults just to wake you up. I probably won't recover from it, but I would, I would do it. I would do that. Luke 6:27. Okay. Now, we read these things. We just rush over this part because we don't want let it to grab a hold of us. So we just kind of run through it real quick when we're reading the Bible. But I say unto you that hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them who despitefully use you, and unto them that smite thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asks of you, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not back again. Boy, is that contrary to human nature. Whoa. Here's what God says to do to people outside of your little circle. He said, number one, do good to them. Want the best for them. That includes other churches. That includes other people. That includes your neighbor, whoever it is. Then the second thing it says to do to them, bless them and speak life to them. Speak blessing to them. When you see something wrong, speak a blessing. Pray for them. Pray for them is the third thing. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. When you go out, when you come in, when you lie down, when you get up, pray about it. When you go to the bank, when you go to work, when you come home, pray about it. Pray about it. Time is precious. Ask God to use that time to the fullest. And then fourth thing says, give to them. Give to them. If they ask, don't expect anything in return. Give to them. Now, it's different if you love somebody with a physical phileo love, the type of love a husband and wife. That's a different kind of thing. God didn't say to do that with your neighbor. You don't have to hug them and kiss them and hold hands and go for long walks together and speak sweet things to each other. That's love between a husband and wife or a boyfriend and a girlfriend or something of that nature. God didn't ask you to do that. All he asked you said, do good to them. Speak good to them. Don't complain about everything that's going on next door. They didn't cut the grass when you thought they should have and that kind of stuff. You're not to curse them. You're to bless them. We're to bless everybody, whether you like them or not. And you're not going to like everybody. Let's be honest. Everybody's not going to like you. Just figure it that way. A certain percentage of people, you might be the most loving thing that you ever saw in your life, just a little teddy bear, and they may not like you. They may like frogs instead of teddy bears. What can I tell you? You see, not everybody's going to like you, and that's all right. What do you do to those that don't like you? You pray for them. You speak good things to them. You do good things for them. You give to them, not expecting anything back. Guess what? That'll change your life right there. You see? Instead of hoarding everything you can and keeping everything, which is going to be given to somebody else when you die.
That's right.
In fact, they might sell it and make a few bucks on it.
That's right.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You know, I always get a kick out of these estate sales. I mean, you can tell somebody's life just going through those things, see all the junk they put out there. You know, you can tell what was really important in their life. Are you listening to me? That's a fact. And you find estate sales all the time. It just reminds me somebody died and now they're selling their stuff. You know? And so what good is to hoard all that stuff? Absolutely no good at all. The greatest thing you could probably have is when you die, have nothing. Are you listening? You gave it all away before you died.
Amen.
That's the best way to do it. Saves a lot of fights besides. Over your stuff. You see. So God has a plan here that is designed to help you, not discourage you. God has a plan that will make a difference in your life. It will light up your life. What good is it to have a light if there's nobody around to see it? Are you listening to me? I always say to single people, be busy with people as much as you possibly can. Don't just sit there and let your little light fizzle out over a period of time. Get around as many people as you can. Get in church every time it opens. Get around God's people as much as you can. Get around lost people and bless them. Don't waste your life sitting there wasting away to nothing. I mean, I'm just giving you practical, honest stuff here. You see, that's ridiculous. It's selfish. It's what it is. And that doesn't honor God. You know, what's the proof for a Christian? Get around people and bless them. Get around people and bless them. You're in Walmart, somebody's in line with you, you be friendly with them.
Amen.
You know, they don't want to have anything to do with it, and every once in a while they don't. That's all right. You know, that's right. Go to the next one. What? Go to a different checkout. I don't know what to do. This life should be a blessing. Your life should be a blessing to people. And there's, I know what it is. Satan always throws this thing up to you. Remember how so-and-so hurt you? You got to be careful. Lock all the doors. Don't let anybody in. You know, that kind of stuff. And that's not Christ. Christ said, throw the doors open and let them come. Hallelujah. And make a difference in somebody's life. You can do that. You know, too many people waste away. And it's just sad, is really what it is. Now, God gave us specific actions to take. Now, if somebody wants to hurt you all the time, don't go around them. I agree with that 100%. But you can still bless them. You can still pray for them. You can still help them if possible. You don't have to spend 24 hours a day with somebody that hurts you. That's ridiculous. You know, that makes no sense whatsoever. Get out of there if somebody's abusing you. I mean, I would never tell somebody to stay in that kind of a situation, you see. But we can still love them. We're not to hate them. I don't care what they do, you see. Some people are just full of the devil instead of God. And they act like it, you see. All right, now. So we are to do these things. Now, I want to really get to this. You want to do this regardless of how you feel about it. Do this regardless of how you feel about it. Feelings are good. Feelings are there to help you appreciate things, but feelings were never designed by God to guide your life. Are you listening? If you really love somebody, you're gonna bless them regardless of how you feel about it. I don't feel good about a lot of things, but so what? Feelings haven't got anything to do about it. Sometimes you just have to do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. Are you listening? Some people just have their feelings. Well, I don't feel like going there. I don't feel like seeing that person. I don't feel like calling up that person. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like getting out of bed. I don't feel like going to the job. So what? That's, if you let your feelings guide your life, you're a walking dead. Dead men walking. You might as well be on death row. Waiting to die. I don't know where we ever got this idea. I feel like doing it. I feel like not doing it. That may not have anything to do with what you're supposed to be doing. You see? I could get up on Sunday morning and not feel like coming to preach. What difference does it make? God wants me to do it. I'm going to be here if I can possibly drag myself here to do it.
Thank you.
Are you listening to me? If I went by my feelings, that'd be a whole nother story. All right. You know, we don't always feel. Emotion comes and goes, but the love goes on forever. Hallelujah. Are you listening? We have to be guided by love, not by feelings. And love is not necessarily feelings. Love is a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to be married to this person and take care of them. I'm going to sign up to do this job, and I'm going to do the best I can. I may not feel good every day. I won't feel good every day, but I'll be there doing what God wants me to do, because everything we do can be of God or it can be of ourselves. And everything we do can be guided by what we should do or what we feel like doing. Oh, I feel like going swimming today when I should be working. Well, what are you going to do? This is what separates babies from mature adults. Are you listening to me? Babies just go by their feelings, you know. They're hungry. They're going to make a lot of noise till they get fed. You know what I'm saying? And the problem is we've got a whole bunch of people claim to be Christians. And all they're doing, going by their feelings. And they wonder why their life's messed up. They wonder why this doesn't work. They wonder why they pray and they don't get an answer. I'm telling you some serious stuff here. You know, we're kind of doing it lighthearted, but it is serious stuff. You do not live by your feelings.
Amen.
Period. They were never designed to guide your life. It's renewing of your mind and making decisions according to God's word. That's what guides your life, and that's what makes the difference in your life. Not what you feel like, you see. And because your feelings will drift you off into some existence that accomplishes nothing in the family of God, you see. That's why you can enjoy great. Do I come and sing because I want to feel good about it? No. I come and sing because I love Jesus Christ and I'm singing to Him. And I know my feelings will follow along, hallelujah. And I can enjoy it, but I have to make a decision to do it, you see. Somebody says, well, I just don't feel like singing today. Well, guess how your day's going to go. I don't know. We got all mixed up with this thing about feelings and all that kind of thing, and we were never to be guided by the feelings, you see. The Word says it's not feelings. You know, here's what the world says. If I don't feel good about it, then I'm just a hypocrite. That's what they say. I don't want to do anything I don't feel like doing because I'd be a hypocrite. That's what the world says, not God. God says do the right thing according to the Word of God. The feelings will come along. The feelings will happen. It'll go on. Guess what? If you're going to enjoy a date with somebody, you have to go on the date. You see. Now, there's some people that it would be a new day in their life if they quit going by their feelings. It would be a new life for them. Totally new thing. That's why people get in trouble in marriages and relationships on their job because they don't feel like the boss appreciates them. Big deal. Do your job. Doesn't make any difference whether the boss appreciates you or not. Do the job that you're supposed to do. Well, I don't think I'll be married today because I don't feel like my mate is loving me properly. Whoop-de-doo. Give me a break here. You live by your feelings, your life's going to be a mess. You got to make decisions. You got to make plans. You got to follow the plan. Doesn't make any difference how you feel about it. It doesn't make any difference if I feel like I love my wife today. She's my wife, and I'm going to do everything I can to make her happy and blessed and all that kind of thing. I'm going to pray for her. In fact, she might be mad at me, but I'm going to pray for her anyway.
Amen.
I'm going to still do the things that I know that I should do on her behalf. It hasn't got anything. It makes no difference how I feel about it. In fact, the biggest detriment to the Christian life are feelings. I feel sick today. Well, pray about it and keep moving. My knee hurts today. Pray about it and keep moving. What? If your feelings guide your life, you'll do nothing. You know. And I think we teach our kids that way sometimes. And they do nothing. And we support them when they're 50 years old. Whose fault is that? Come on. I haven't heard an amen yet. Heard a lot of oh me's. You know, I don't know, probably next week there's going to be a day or two I might not feel like doing whatever I'm supposed to be doing. It may happen just maybe it'll happen. But you know, we wouldn't have a church, we wouldn't have a radio station, we wouldn't have anything else if everybody went by their feelings. Amen. There'd be nothing. You see what I'm talking about? We'll do it. We need to rescue our lives from these emotional trips we go on, which lead us into destruction. Feelings are not nice, but they're not to direct our lives. Feelings are kind of like eating a pound of chocolate instead of eating your regular dinner. That's kind of about what it's like. I'm serious as I can be. That's what they are. And they'll mess you up. You'll turn into something. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you just have to make yourself do the right thing. Amen. Who's in charge? Your feelings or your mind? Who's in charge? God or your feelings? You have to make yourself do things. A lot of times. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Emotions will lead you. If it feels, you know, everybody says, oh, if it feels good, do it. Well, that'll get you in some real trouble. You see what I mean? You got to master your emotions. Maybe that's what I ought to call this. You see? And so, you know, every one of us, how many ever got up in the morning one time and said this, I don't feel like going to school? How many ever done that in their entire life? Show of hands. There you go. I don't. How many mothers and wives ever said, I don't feel like cooking this morning? Whoa! Whoa, the hands went up. Whoa! Hey! Shall I say stand up? What did you do? And you blessed yourself and somebody else, didn't you? You see what I'm saying? That's the way most people are in their Christian life. They go by whether they feel like they want to go to church or feel like they want to read their Bible or feel like they want to praise God or feel like they're going to pray for somebody else or feel like somebody hates them, you know, all of this kind of stuff. If you're immature, you'll stay in bed and lose it. Lose the blessing. You'll lose the blessing. You know, every once in a while I talk to somebody and I say, oh, I heard you had a great Sunday and I just didn't get there. I just didn't make it, you know. And all this going on and I just didn't make a decision. Listen. This is not an option. This is not an elective. It's a commandment of God. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. God said, if somebody hates you, you bless them anyway. God said, if you don't feel like doing something that's right, you do it anyway. Amen. You ask God for the strength. You ask God for the anointing. You ask God for the blessing. And you keep on moving. I'm not saying there aren't times that you aren't, maybe don't feel like and you need to be in bed, but I'll tell you that for the times that we do that, most of the time we should be up and about doing what God wants us to do. Most of the time. How many have come home and done things in their house and they were dead tired doing it? How many ever did that? Were you happy you did it?
Yes.
You know, I can take my clothes off at night, throw them in the middle of the floor and say I'll deal with it in the morning.
Whoa.
Well, two things will happen. My wife will not be happy for one. And number two, I won't either when I get in the morning, see them in the middle of the floor. You know what I'm saying? And we'll do things like that. We'll make sure our clothes are hung in the closet. We'll make sure that everything is in order and everything's together like it's supposed to be, some of us.
Yes.
And everything's where it's supposed to be, you know. And then some of us just kind of, you can't open the thing up and stuff's falling out and you're reaching over stuff that's on the floor to try to get something else. I know you never had that experience. But, you know, that's the way we operate as Christians. And I'm telling you, we're coming to a place. We have done that in this country, and that's why we're in trouble.
Amen.
Everybody wanted to keep their Christianity to themselves.
Uh-huh.
Or they wanted to keep it in the church and not let it kind of leak out to the people outside, you know. And that kind of thing. And God says, this is the end of that kind of stuff.
Amen.
You know what God's doing in the last day? He's separating Christians. The ones that are going to do the work of God, one that's going to bless God, one that's going to love their neighbors, the one that's going to love God with all the heart, soul, and mind, and the folks over here that can't figure out what's in their closet. You understand what I'm saying? And God's separating that group today. You're going to see a separation. It's going to be really interesting that's going to take place. And I'm going to tell you, all these Christians that are living on their emotions are going to fade away. Are you listening to me? That's why I'm teaching this. God says in His Word, in the last days there's going to be a great falling away.
Oh, yes.
I didn't say they were going to hell. I didn't say that. But what I'm saying is they're falling away from what God wants them to do because it's not popular, it's not politically correct, it may offend somebody, and all this kind of stuff. And we've done that for 50 years in this nation, and that's why we have a bunch of leadership in Washington that doesn't know God from a hole in the ground. Are you listening to me? And leading us right down the tube. They're into this, we ought to love everybody and give everybody anything and all this kind of stuff, and that's what they're doing because they're not doing the right thing and they don't know God. So you see, that's the issue on the 4th of July. That's the issue on the 4th of July. God's saying, stand up and take your place. Get up to the plate and start swinging the bat. Start being a man or a woman of God. You see, that's exactly what God's saying. On that note, let's stand before the Lord.